This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on Samvidhan Hatya Divas, Impact on Emergency on Press Freedom. The participants are K.G. Suresh, Political Analyst, and Vikram Malkani, Author. Moderator is Aditi Tandon, Senior Journalist.
50 years have passed since the imposition of internal emergency in India by late Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. The emergency period from 25th of June 1975 to 21st of March 1977 is referred to as the darkest period of post-independent India because all civil rights were suspended and the freedom of press, speech and expression were muzzled. The emergency naturally was a big blow to the democratic principles that the country had cherished after attaining freedom from the British rule. The government at that time invoked press censorship along with imposition of emergency with obvious intentions to control and manipulate the press in order to suppress the public opinion. Let's listen to what Prime Minister Narendra Modi had to say about the imposition of the emergency on June 25, 1975 in his Mann Ki Baat program.
1975 June woh aisi kali raat thi jo koi bhi loktantra premi bhula nahi sakta hai, koi bharatvasi bhula nahi sakta hai. Ek prakar se desh ko jail khane mein badal diya gaya tha. विरोधी स्वर को दबोच दिया गया था. जयप्रकाश नारायण सहित देश के गणमान्य नेताओं को जेलों में बंद कर दिया था. न्याय व्यवस्था भी आपातकाल के उन भयावह रूप की छाया से बच नहीं पाई थी. अखबारों को तो पूरी तरह बेकार कर दिया गया था. आज के पत्रकारिता जगत के विद्यार्थी, लोकतंत्र में काम करने वाले लोग उन काले कालखंड को बार बार स्मरण करते हुए लोकतंत्र के प्रति जागरूकता बढ़ाने के निरंतर प्रयास करते रहे हैं और करते भी रहने चाहिए.
वी हैव विद अस के जी सुरेश एंड विक्रम मलकानी एंड वील ट्राई एंड अंडरस्टैंड हाउ द प्रेस फ्रीडम्स वर कर्ब्ड, व्हाट वाज द लास्टिंग इम्पैक्ट ऑफ दैट डार्क पीरियड ऑन द हिस्ट्री ऑफ द कंट्री एंड द जर्नी ऑफ इंडिया. के जी सुरेश, हाउ डू यू व्यू द प्रेस सेंसरशिप दैट केम इन टू बींग and also vast degrees of restrictions that were placed on film critics, on artists who did not toe the government line?
Absolutely, Aditi. Perhaps some of the provisions were even worse than what the British did. Over 1 lakh detainees were there. They included journalists, they included artists, and not just political opponents, but also intellectuals, authors. So the whole idea was that any kind of creativity, any kind of freedom of speech and expression had to be curtailed because people could be awakened by even symbolically. So they wanted to suppress any form of resistance. That was the whole idea. Can you imagine that you had inspectors sitting in newsrooms, not the editors, not the sub-editors, but the inspectors would decide what would go in the content. There used to be something called an office called the chief censor, who would decide on what would go in the press. Some of the newspapers which were critical of the government, like the Indian Express and the Statesman, they even put out blank editorials in protest against the... You had doyens like Ramnath Goenka who stood up to this suppression. And so many journalists were jailed, tortured. Not only that, in fact, many small publications which were dependent on government advertisement for their survival had to shut down. You had news agencies, including PTI, UNI, Hindustan Samachar, Samachar Bharati. They were all merged into one entity called Samachar, you know. And the whole idea was that to curtail, and we did not have any social media at that time. Unfortunately, at that time, again, you had no Prasar Bharati Act at that time. Even the radio, which was, you know, playing in sync with whatever the government wanted. So they wanted to, so people became dependent on voices like BBC and underground voices. A lot of people went underground, journalists went underground, and that's how they got access to information.
Right. Vikramji, I want to bring you in here. We all know of many infamous episodes, you know, during the emergency and how the freedoms of artistic community, of writers, of authors, of film personalities were muzzled at the time because they did not give in to the demands of the government of the day. What are your own memories of your own father's arrest? Because we believe you were a very small child at the time.
Thank you, Aditi ji, for having me over. As I think we all are aware that it was on the night of 25th June that the papers were signed for the emergency to be declared. Now, my father was a fearless writer and he stood by certain principles irrespective of whether he was alone or there were people supporting him. I think he was very much on the radar of the then government, and it was a little after midnight that the police came to our place. Now, it was June, it was midsummer, so as was the trend in those days, a lot of families used to sleep outside their homes because it was less hot. So we were sleeping in our courtyard just outside our home. When the police came, they knocked. They were at the gate. They did not enter the courtyard, but they said that they wanted to take my father to the police station nearby. Now, I was 8 years old and my sister was 10. My brother was 17. My mother and father woke up and my brother was woken up. My sister and I slept through this entire episode. My mother asked them that, why do you want to take him to the police station? And their response was about my father, saying that he knows. So I think he knew what was inevitably going to happen. Now, obviously, she was concerned about his safety. So she decided to go to a lawyer neighbor's house at that time at night and ask him to accompany my father to the police station. Now, when she opened the back door of our house to walk up to that neighbor, she realized that the whole house had been surrounded by the police. So they were thinking that my father may escape. Now, we woke up in the morning and we were told that my father had been arrested. Now, of course, none of us would have imagined that he would be in jail for 21 months. We were not even told, as everyone knows in Misa, there was no warrant. We were not even told where he was being taken. It was maybe several days later that we got to know that he was in Rohtak jail in Haryana. So that started the 21-month routine of us visiting him every fortnight. First, he was in Rohtak. I remember that jail because it was a large hall where all the detainees were made to meet with their families. And one can imagine what jail food would be like. So my mother used to cook something that my father liked and all of us used to eat together. Largely what I would say is that I was protected from all the hardship that my mother herself faced. And for us, it was more like we are meeting our father, and it did not disrupt our lives in a huge way. We were in a private school and we continued studying there, which was essentially a lot of thanks to my mother and her brother, who was also Delhi based and who was supporting us financially. While those 21 months passed, I was just 10 when he was released. But as I read more books, including my own father's, I realized what a horrifying 21 months they were for India.
Right. Vikramji, do you also recall any other instances of high-handedness of the government apart from your own father, Malkani ji? Because what we hear of that era is that, you know, there were various ways in which the government was muzzling the press and the writers. For example, there were many false charges with regard to tax arrears, threats of reduction of newsprint that was slapped on so many newspapers, then imprisonment of publishers, their immediate families, you know, of writers. You yourself are a case at hand. And then there were threats also of shutting down the press, and many Delhi-based journalists were even evicted from their government houses. And Ramnath Goenka, of course, at that time the proprietor of Indian Express, had famously said that the might of the government was used to also suppress his economic businesses, apart from, you know, the media business.
As I said, I was very young at that time, so I was not necessarily aware of what was happening during that period. I did read about it later. But two incidents I recall. One was when on the night of 25th, just to prevent newspapers from printing the next morning, power supply to the main road, which has all the large offices, which I guess is Bahadur Shah Zafar Marg, was disconnected, which is shocking that you try even to prevent newspapers from printing the news the next morning. My father was the editor of two newspapers at that time. One was Organizer, which is a weekly, which is still running. And the other was Motherland, which was a daily, which was started in 1971 and went on till 1975. So possibly Motherland was the only English paper published in Delhi the next morning, simply because the Motherland's office was in a different location in Delhi and power supply to that was not blocked. So they were able to bring out the paper, and at least some thousands of people in Delhi were informed that emergency has been declared.
Right. Those are very interesting anecdotes. Also, Vikramji, what we do remember of those times also is the fact that not all the press of the time stood up mm-hmm. to the challenge of the government. There were a handful that actually stood up to that resistance, and we can name them. Indian Express was one. A small publication mm-hmm. called Himmat was another. You yourself mentioned mm-hmm. cases of your father. Not only was this a shock in the sense that the government of the day for the first time imposed press censorship in independent India, mm-hmm. also it mm-hmm. was the first time that sections of vast media, the only independent mm-hmm. mass media available at that time, succumbed to pressures of the government. How troublesome is that? Because a lot of media houses, I still remember, we've read also, that the board of trustees of a certain very big newspaper at the time actually said in their board meeting that the law of the land has to be followed. It may not be palatable.
Even in today's times, there are papers who have their inclination towards a political party or another. That is, I guess, a reality that we have to live with, irrespective of whichever democracy there would be. But that was a different time, because newspapers, their proprietors could be arm twisted. There could be harassment, like you mentioned about the Goenka family facing a hardship in their businesses. So the government could literally do whatever it wanted. It was trigger happy. A very unfortunate time, even though we have seen hints of that off and on in the last 40 odd years. For example, I was talking to someone a short while ago when I mentioned that a lot of people don't remember the Defamation Bill of 1988. Now, that was also a draconian bill. Fortunately, there was so much resistance from the entire media community. They were out protesting at Boat Club Road. The government had to backtrack. But off and on, there have been hints of what the government can do and has done. I do believe that a really dark period is behind us, and I'm certainly hopeful that we never face it again.
A short while ago, Akashwani correspondent Aditya Shukla had a detailed conversation with veteran journalist Ram Bahadur Rai about his memories of the emergency days. Please listen in.
Rai sahab, JP ki giraftari kahan se hui thi aur unke saath kitne log giraftar kiye gaye the?
Gandhi Shanti Pratishthan mein un dinon thehrte the aur usi kamre mein thehrte the jisme baad mein Anupam Mishra ka daftar hota tha. Ye सिंगल स्टोरी बिल्डिंग है जीपीएफ के मेन बिल्डिंग के दाहिने तरफ, उसके बड़े कमरे में वो ठहरते थे. बगल का छोटा जो कमरा है वो उनके मिलने जुलने वालों के लिए रखा जाता था. रात को 11:30 बजे अभी वो बिस्तर पर गए ही थे कि पुलिस आ गई. संभवतः वो नींद में आ गए थे, लेकिन पुलिस, आप जानते हैं गांधी शांति प्रतिष्ठान में दो फाटक रात को दोनों बंद किए जाते हैं. पुलिस ने बहुत जोर से दोनों फाटकों को धड़धड़ाया तो राधा कृष्ण जो उस समय उसी कैंपस में रहते थे, उनका निवास था और सेक्रेटरी थे, माने जाने गांधीयन थे, वो उठकर गए और पुलिस से कहा कि क्या बात है. तो कहा कि जेपी को गिरफ्तार करना है. राधा कृष्ण जी ने दरवाजा खुलवाया और पुलिस से कहा कि थोड़ी देर आप लोग रुक जाइए, जेपी अभी बिस्तर पर गए ही हैं, यानी उनको थोड़ा आराम करने दीजिए. जेपी रोगी थे और कितने रोगी थे इसका सबसे बड़ा जो कथन है वो डॉक्टर सीपी ठाकुर का. सीपी ठाकुर जेपी को देखने के लिए उन दिनों कभी गए थे तो उन्होंने कहा कि आदमी जिंदा कैसे है, न लीवर ठीक से काम कर रहा है, न किडनी काम कर रही है, न हार्ट काम कर रहा है, फिर भी ये आदमी अपने संकल्प से जिंदा और आंदोलन का नेतृत्व कर रहा है. ये सीपी ठाकुर ने कहा, जो पटना के उस समय के सबसे बड़े डॉक्टर थे, बाद में वाजपेयी जी की सरकार में हेल्थ मिनिस्टर भी हो गए. लेकिन उस जेपी को जो उनकी काया रोगी थी, आत्मा उनकी प्रबल थी, लोकतंत्र की लड़ाई लड़ रही थी, उस जेपी को आराम करने नहीं दिया गया और जबरन उनको पुलिस की गाड़ी में बैठा दिया गया. जब ये बात चंद्रशेखर को मालूम हुई कि जेपी गिरफ्तार किए जा रहे हैं तो उन्होंने टैक्सी मंगवाई. चंद्रशेखर जी ने अपनी जेल डायरी में और अपने मेमोर में लिखा है, टैक्सी से वो गांधी पीस फाउंडेशन पहुंचे तो देखा कि जेपी को पुलिस की गाड़ी में बैठाया जा चुका है और गाड़ी अब चलने लगी है, तो उन्होंने उसके पीछे पीछे अपनी टैक्सी लगवा दी. पार्लियामेंट स्ट्रीट थाने पहुंचे, जेपी को से उनको की थोड़ी देर बातचीत हुई और उसके बाद जेपी को अलग कमरे में ले जाया गया. और चंद्रशेखर जब बातचीत करके निकल रहे थे तो पुलिस के अफसर ने कहा कि सर आप भी अरेस्ट हो चुके हैं, अब आपको अगर कोई कुछ कपड़ा लेना है तो हम कोई आदमी आपके साथ जाएगा, आप गिरफ्तार हो चुके हैं। तो उन्होंने कहा ठीक है, वहीं चंद्रशेखर अरेस्ट हुए। और इस तरह से आपको मालूम है कि उस रात बीजू पटनायक, अशोक मेहता, राजनारायण, के आर मलकानी, भाई महावीर, समर गुहा, ऐसे जो नाम याद है करीब 25-26 बड़े नेता
गिरफ्तार किए गए,
गिरफ्तार हुए और सबको एक जगह इकट्ठा किया गया। फिर उसके बाद उनको बस में बैठा करके अंधेरे में ही रोहतक जेल भेजा गया।
राय साहब आपने
इन गिरफ्तारियों का कोई औचित्य नहीं,
बिल्कुल
इन गिरफ्तारियों का कोई आधार नहीं है। और मीसा को में गिरफ्तार करने की एक पद्धति थी कि पहले ग्राउंड सर्व किया जाता था कि इस ग्राउंड पर आपको अरेस्ट किया जा रहा है, किसी को कोई न वारंट दिया गया न ग्राउंड सर्व किया गया।
हमने बात की अब तक एक युवा पत्रकार की, कैसे वो उस समय पर जब वो जेल में रहा और इमरजेंसी के उन लम्हों को बहुत करीब से देखा, महसूस किया, उसको जिया, उस दौरान आप कैसे एक पत्रकार के रूप में आगे ढले, कैसे उस समय आपको ये प्रेरणा मिली। हम आपसे ये भी जानना चाहेंगे कि जब आप जेल से बाहर आते हैं उन 16-17 महीनों के बाद, तब आप अपने अंदर क्या बदलाव महसूस करते हैं, एक नागरिक रूप में अपनी जिम्मेदारी को कैसे महसूस करते हैं।
मैंने आपको ये बताया कि मैं उस समय जेपी आंदोलन, जेपी का सहयोगी था और आंदोलन का एक कार्यकर्ता था
जी।
पत्रकारिता में मैं बाद में आया
जी।
उन दिनों जब हम जेल से बाहर आए तो अंडरग्राउंड एक्टिविटी में हम शामिल हुए, और संयोग ऐसा था कि जिस दिन मैं जेल से बाहर आया उसके 2-3 दिन बाद ही जेपी मुंबई से जसलोक हॉस्पिटल से चल करके बनारस आए, और इसलिए आए कि उनके मित्र ध्वजा प्रसाद साहू का निधन हो गया था। जब मुझे मालूम हुआ कि जेपी यहाँ है तो मैंने जेपी से मुलाकात की और मैंने पूछा कि आप की इस समय सलाह हमारे लोगों जैसे लोगों के लिए क्या है। तो उन्होंने कहा कि राम बहादुर बाबू केवल एक ही काम करना चाहिए इस समय, जो विपक्ष के राजनीतिक दल हैं, खास करके गैर कम्युनिस्ट राजनीतिक दल यानी जनसंघ, कांग्रेस संगठन, सोशलिस्ट पार्टी और लोकदल, इनके नेताओं को समझाकर, कार्यकर्ताओं को समझाकर और एक वैकल्पिक राजनीतिक दल का गठन जल्दी कर लेना चाहिए
जी।
इसमें जितना आप प्रयास कर सकते हैं करिए।
Let's listen into Union Home Minister Amit Shah and what he said on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of imposition of emergency. At an event in Delhi, he released a very important book titled The Emergency Diaries, which chronicles the life and times of Prime Minister Narendra Modi when he was a young pracharak of the RSS at the height of emergency.
Mitro, aaj hum azadi ke baad ke Bharat ke itihas ke ek kale adhyay ko याद करने के लिए एकत्रित आए हैं। ऐसा कहते हैं कि कुछ बुरी घटनाओं को जीवन से भुला देना चाहिए, वो सही भी है, मगर जब बात हो समाज जीवन की, राष्ट्र जीवन की, तब बुरी घटनाओं को चिरकाल तक याद रखना चाहिए, क्योंकि उसकी पुनरावृत्ति कभी न हो पाए। इसलिए देश का युवा और किशोर संस्कारित भी हो, संगठित भी हो और संघर्षरत भी हो। और इसीलिए हमारे प्रधानमंत्री नरेंद्र मोदी जी ने 25 तारीख का ये दिन संविधान हत्या दिन के रूप में मनाने का सरकारी निर्णय किया है।
केजी सुरेश, द इंडियन एक्सप्रेस दिल्ली एडिशन एट दैट टाइम, यू जस्ट मेंशन्ड जस्ट नाउ इन योर अर्लियर रिमार्क्स, इट वाज ऑन June 28, 1975 दैट द इंडियन एक्सप्रेस दिल्ली एडिशन कैरीड अ ब्लैंक फर्स्ट एडिटोरियल एज अ मैटर ऑफ प्रोटेस्ट अगेंस्ट द गवर्नमेंट, एंड फाइनेंशियल एक्सप्रेस द सेम डे रिप्रोड्यूस्ड इन लार्ज टाइप रविंद्रनाथ टैगोर्स पोएम वेयर द माइंड इज विदाउट फियर। सो हाउ डू यू लुक बैक एट 50 ईयर्स ऑफ इमरजेंसी? The government of the day today has marked this day as Samvidhan Hatya Divas. Prime Minister and all senior ministers have said that the intention is to ensure that those nefarious tendencies never raise their ugly head again. What do you think that means?
They say that a people who tend to forget their history are bound to repeat it. So whether it is the reminding us ourselves about the partition, so the government had discussed about that Vibhajan Vibhishanika Divas on August 14, we would all remember how this great nation was partitioned on communal lines, on the two nation theory. Similarly, this is a big lesson, and it is a warning not just against government, but also against our own inaction. You referred to it, Aditi ji, earlier. You see, I remember L.K. Advani ji, who became the Information and Broadcasting Minister in the 1977 Janata government, had famously said that when they were asked to bend, they crawled. So that means that there was a big section of media. We have, of course, have examples like the Goenkas and other newspapers, but there were also newspapers which compromised. And this was the same case with the judiciary also. We had exceptions like Justice H.R. Khanna, but there were a large number of judges who compromised. So I think that this is a lesson for us, that unless as a society we stand up against atrocities, we stand up against, look at the kind of youngsters were dragged and they were sterilized in the name of population control. You remember the Turkman Gate demolitions, lakhs of people were rendered homeless overnight. They were demolished. It was tyranny, and with nobody to question. The press council was abolished so that there is no question, you know. So this was the kind of suppression which the whole idea was to occupy. And believe me, there was a few papers like Motherland was able to make it the next day. But by and large, for the initial couple of days, people were in the dark. Only later on, by word of mouth, by ham radios, you had RSS people who went underground, who brought out these pamphlets. That is how people came to know about it. Otherwise, I was a resident of Delhi. I was a youngster. We were all made to believe that this is due to internal and external threats, and that this is to discipline, bring about discipline. Now, everything would run smoothly. Trains would run on time. Buses would run on time. People would reach office on time. So initially, it was kind of a middle class dream come true, you know. That was how it was projected to be. But the consequences started coming out in terms of torture. You have the infamous Rajan murder case, the way he was tortured and killed in Kerala. And you had so many other instances, the way creative freedom was suppressed. You had films which were Kissa Kursi Ka, the reels were burnt, destroyed, so that there is no reputation. So these things will always remain etched in our memory, but we should pass it on to the next generation with events like Samvidhan Hatya Divas, so that in future, no despot, no tyrant is able to replicate what happened. That was a black day for us. We have a strong roots in democracy, as against our fellow countries in South Asia, which have fallen for dictatorships, but we are still one of the most strongly rooted democracy in the world.
All right, that's very well articulated. Vikramji, I have one question for you. Of course, what we are discussing is one part of the story, but what happened after the imposition of emergency? Few days later, we all remember that Information and Broadcasting Minister of the time, Vidya Charan Shukla, very close aide of Indira Gandhi, actually started calling up all the top Bollywood film personalities, asking them to endorse the 20-point program of the late Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. Mm-hmm. And it was in this context that Kishore Kumar, the ace singer of the time, was also contacted. He obviously was a vocal critic of the Indira Gandhi government, a very harsh critic of the emergency, and he naturally declined. So that was how the victimization of Kishore Kumar began, the story began, that he was then banned from AIR and also from Doordarshan.
I would refer to what Sureshji just said, that those who ignore history are condemned to repeat it. Now, I think it's reasonable to expect that something like that will never be imposed on our large democracy ever again. But the education on emergency and all that happened is really very important, even for young people today, so that if in any government there is any curtailment of our fundamental rights, we are aware of what is happening and we are aware of our rights. So I think that education is really very important. Now, my father had written a book soon after the emergency was lifted. It was called The Midnight Knock, But subsequently, many more books have come out, and I think it is really very important for us to get an education in all the excesses, all that happened. Now, while expectedly the Congress has swept this period under the carpet, but it is a very good step that the present government took to call it the Samvidhan Hatya Divas, so it remains etched in our minds for generations to come.
The Akashvani also spoke to noted film critic Bhavna Somaya about the restrictions that were placed on the world of Bollywood and film personalities and artists and singers during the emergency.
To sabka sawal ye tha ki film press par kyun ban laga hai? Politically humko kya isme connected hai? Magar ban laga tha aur kuch Kishore Kumar ke sath request ki gayi thi. कहीं पे उनको बुलाया गया था गाने के लिए और किशोर कुमार जिस तरह प्रकार के इंसान थे उन्होंने मना कर दिया. तो बाद में पता चला कि ऑल इंडिया रेडियो में किशोर कुमार के गाने नहीं बजेंगे और कोई ब्रॉडकास्टिंग में उनका जिक्र भी नहीं होगा. मुझे लगता है उस वक्त वीसी शुक्ला थे, इन्फॉर्मेशन एंड ब्रॉडकास्टिंग मिनिस्टर. दुख की बात यह है कि किशोर कुमार ने मना किया और नहीं किया जो भी उनसे बोला गया, मगर फिल्म फ्रेटर्निटी ने मिलकर कोई इस पर स्टैंड नहीं लिया.
मिस्टर सुरेश, द किशोर कुमार एपिसोड इज वेरी टेलिंग इन मेनी वेज. वन इज ऑफ कोर्स व्हाट वी नो दैट यू नो ही वाज बैंड, बट व्हाट वी डोंट नो एंड व्हाट इज नॉट ऑफन टॉक्ड अबाउट इज दैट देयर आफ्टर ही वाज अंडर सो मच प्रेशर बिकॉज दोज वर द टाइम्स व्हेन द आर्टिस्ट हैड ओनली टू एवेन्यूज टू मेक मनी. इट वॉज यू नो मोस्टली थ्रू पब्लिक ब्रॉडकास्ट मीडिया, रेडियो एंड द दूरदर्शन. सो बिकॉज ही वॉज बैंड ही फेस्ड अ वेरी हार्श टाइम. And also what happened later is that he wrote a letter to the government of the time then on July 14, 1976 saying, all right, you know, I'm ready to do what you want me to do. And this was later on recorded in the Shah Commission proceedings, where the Shah Commission noted how the Information and Broadcasting Secretary of those years then said that this action that was taken against Kishore Kumar had the desired effect. So the intention was to actually send a message of coercion across the film personalities, across the film world.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. The whole idea was that the way he was victimized, the way he was hunted, the way he was kind of targeted, his films were not screened, producers were asked to not give films to him, they were under pressure not to, and of course he was banned from All India Radio. I mean, it is taking away the oxygen, the life breath of an artist if they are not able to perform. So obviously, you know, any artist at that time, unless, you know, they would be forced to surrender because it's about their livelihood, it's about their, you know, reaching out to the people at large. I mean, he was not an activist, he was an artist. Only thing is that he declined to the line. Now, the whole idea is that that was the extent to which people were victimized, you know. And of course, so many films, whether it is Nazbandi, whether it is Kissa Kursi Ka, they were all, even Andhi, which had any indirect, direct references, even it could be a work of fiction. But if they felt that this was about the government or its leaders, it would immediately face action. You know, that was the kind of monitoring. I mean, you can imagine how stifling, how suffocating that era would have been to the creative people, to the people who believe in the freedom of speech and expression. The way the intelligence machinery was keeping a tab, tapping phones, they were doing it. So I think that then the very notorious rules, like whether it is the Maintenance of Internal Security Act, the draconian rules, the Defense of India rules, the COFE POSA, and under these draconian laws, people were put behind the bars, deprived of their fundamental rights, denied bail, which is a basic thing. You know, the entire constitution itself was suspended.
So we'll wind up on the note that at that time, a censor was seated in the Press Information Bureau offices, and every paper was censored, and it was delayed to an extent that the proprietors got to sell it at 8 a.m. next day, which means there were no takers by then. So that was the intention of the government. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on Samvidhan Hatya Divas, Impact of Emergency on Press Freedom. The participants were K.G. Suresh, political analyst, and Vikram Malkani, author. Moderator was Aditi Tandon, senior journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.